Hi, we're Visible, the wireless company with nothing to hide. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not into you. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez Brownlee.
And I'm Andrew Manganelli.
And before we get into anything on this podcast, let me just go ahead and tell you, if you're a citizen of the U.S. and you're eligible to vote, go ahead and vote.
Please.
Go ahead and do it. So election day is the 3rd, and it's coming up. But if for some reason you don't have a plan to go vote, you should figure that out ASAP. I'm going to give everybody the day off on the 3rd. It's election day. It's a holiday. Find the time.
Tell your boss. Tell your boss Marquez told you. Yeah. You can take it off.
Yeah. It's happening. So there's a ton of resources out there. We'll throw a few in the show notes. Vote.org is one of my favorites. There's also iwillvote.com. Just take a few minutes and please go vote. Okay, back to tech. So there's a lot. It's still Techtober. And if you haven't been on YouTube in a while, I suggest checking it out because your sub box has probably got a bunch of stuff in it. I'll just leave it at that. There's a lot
of phones. There are a lot of phones out there.
A lot of phones, but it's also console season. Yeah. And it's also, there's more Apple events coming, more laptops, tablets, a whole bunch of stuff. Today, we're going to quickly talk about the console wars happening because Series X and PlayStation 5 are on the horizon. They're about to come out. And we'll probably rant a little bit on the embargoes that have to do with them too. We'll play a little game with the new smartphones coming out, and we'll start with some stuff we liked.
Yeah.
What did you like?
I have, I think, a kind of fun one here. It's not like one specific thing, but it's more of every once in a while we get a phone that you can just tell is going to produce, like, have a bunch of really fun videos when it comes out. And so this was one, the LG Wing just came out, and I knew the titles for it were going to be amazing. So I just wrote down a couple titles for Wing reviews or Wing articles that I really appreciated.
Oh, this is one of my favorite things.
Everyone loves a good pun. I'm sure Dieter saw the Wing come out and was like losing his mind and super excited to start naming things. But so let's see. We have Winging It from Mr. Mobile.
Nice.
Really Flipping Fun was the Verge video. This one I think was the most creative, and it's not a direct pun, but it was Haim Gartenberg from the Verge, Learning to Fly, Failing to Soar. What a good title.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's so good. And then I have one that I'm going to say. One of my friends, when I was talking to him about the Wing, his name's Connor, and he said, I just want the Wing to not be good so you guys can name the video Wing and a Miss.
I actually had in my draft of that video, I had a Wing in It pun in there, like something about just Wing It. And it didn't make it to the video, and I'm really disappointed. And thank you, Mr. Mobile, for getting that into your title, because I wanted it. I wanted to make the joke.
Yeah, there's potential there, and I think some people did a really good job. So kudos to everyone who...
I think I almost titled it What the Flip. I think I almost did that. WTF LIP would have been the title. Mm. Or just something like that, but I didn't do it. I'm not as creative as I... I got to get back to
the creative titles. Well, the thing is it had more potential if it was a bad phone, but it wound up being... Pretty interesting.
True.
And a pretty cool phone. So true. Good job, LG. You that could have backfired really bad if it went poorly. But
yeah.
Did you have anything you liked?
Let me think.
It's been busy, so if you haven't watched anything, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, I kind of just like that Xbox embraced the meme of the Series X looking like a fridge and then made a fridge
that
looks
was
like a
really
Series X.
Good.
That's good. That's like, if you're going to be self-aware enough as a company, you might as well just go all the way. And I like that they did that. They sent one to Justine. She did an unboxing of it.
Yeah.
It's like 6-7 feet tall.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. And then they're doing like a
giveaway, I think.
A giveaway,
yeah,
exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
So I kind of just generally enjoy companies that are self-aware enough to like make fun of themselves a little bit. Like if people are going to say
it's
your console.
It's good marketing.
If they're going to say it looks like a fridge, yeah. Do something with that meme.
Exactly, yeah.
So shout out to them.
Good job, Microsoft. Especially because they need... everyone needs all the marketing they can get during console stuff right now. Like, every little bit counts.
Well, and, they know it, and we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah,
we'll definitely get to that. Real quick, I think I have two really quick stories before we jump into, like, the meteor stuff we have in this. AMD graphics card, we just recently talked about NVIDIA's 30 series, which made a big splash in the, like, the PC gamer, PC building community, whatever.
Universe.
Sorry. By the way, everyone, it's really late. We're recording this about as last minute as possible. So I think Marquez is super drained, I'm sure.
I'm awake, though. That's good. That I'm so good. Awake.
All right. So AMD graphics cards, they just came out. There's an event yesterday, I believe, which we didn't get to see because we were busy. But I just have a couple notes on it. RX 6800, RX 6800 XT, and RX 6900 XT. They're supposed to be competitors to, like, the 3080 and the 3090.
They're so not good at naming these, but also they're just straight up numbers, so I guess it's fine.
Computers parts are one of those things where, like, I've always just been so used to, like, name a motherboard off the top of your head right now.
HL130Z55G.
XT, MSI.
No, it's like, I get the numbers thing, like 3080, 3090, it's very straightforward. It's just like there's no way to not sound like you're diving into the deep end of tech specs. Yeah. Just talking about the name.
It is. You have to be, like, familiar with that set of numbers to really, like, know. Like, I'm not familiar with AMD graphics cards. So, like, these to me,
so RX 6800 totally means nothing to most people. And saying that the RX 6900 XT is comparable to the RTX 3090 is just a lot of numbers coming out of my mouth.
It really is.
That's just funny.
So, in terms of price points, $579, $649, $999. If you compare that to NVIDIA prices, they are cheaper than everything, even though NVIDIA stuff was cheaper than normal this year. AMD is always the company you come for, though, when you want, like, bang for your buck.
Yep.
Cheaper than NVIDIA, cheaper than Intel kind of stuff.
Right.
Let's see. I looked at some super quick benchmarks on a Verge article, and I'll link that in the show notes. But according to some of the benchmarks that they posted on certain games at 4K or at 1440 or at all sorts of different settings, it looked like it was beating NVIDIA in quite a few, and when it wasn't, it was tied with it. So
beating the comparable card that they're comparing themselves to. Okay.
Well, let's remember this is from an AMD event, so who knows exactly what numbers are. It obviously will have to be tested, but just the fact that it's comparable and a bit cheaper, and I think the really important thing is, well, how available will these be when they come out? Because the 3080, 3090, and the 3070 that just came out. I just saw Ken Bolito sat in line overnight to get theirs for Austin's channel.
Really?
So, yeah.
Overnight for a graphics card?
Overnight for graphics at a Micro Center. I think they had, like, whoa. I think Ken said Micro Center got a little over 100 in.
They
sold all of them.
That's over, incredible.
Like, waiting in line. So.
Okay, these new consoles coming out, I feel like there's going to be lines outside of stores. Like, I can see that. Even though it's COVID times, like, people are going to wait for that. And I always go back to, I've only ever waited for one phone in line. And I know all the comments are already typing, like, well, you get the phones. I've bought phones and I just wait for them. But I've never wanted a phone on day one so bad that I would wait in line outside overnight for it.
I surprisingly have waited in line for a lot of different things.
Really?
The only, like, tech, I guess you could say, was for Halo 2. I got in line for that and it released at midnight. So it wasn't overnight, but it was very late. I once waited in line at the grand opening of a Buffalo Wild Wings to get a year's free worth of wings. The thing was, is it was nowhere near me, so I never went to it again. I was just in college and I was bored, and, like, some of my friends who lived down there were doing it.
That's really funny.
I used to wait for hockey tickets all the time for, like, 12 plus hours. But
interesting.
that went pretty off.
But GPUs are getting that kind of hype. Yeah, that's a good.
I'll mostly be interested to see how available they are, because I have friends that have been trying to get the 30 series and just failing completely. So maybe that will mean there's going to be more need for the AMD ones, which means they'll get sold out super quickly, or there might just be equal want for them and not enough supply, and they'll also be sold out for the next however many months. But if you guys want to see really in depth of everything, Linus, Hardware Canucks, Jay's Two Cents, Paul's Hardware, everyone, you know where to look. Okay, that's AMD graphics cards. One more quick story that I read literally maybe an hour ago, and I thought we just needed to discuss this very quickly, but Motorola just started selling the Razr on Amazon. an unlocked version, but there is a part in the description on Amazon's website that says, Razer was meant to be shipped in the unfolded position. However, in order to better protect the display, we have folded your Razer. It's safer. It may not look as elegant as we hoped, and we apologize if you see fingerprints on your device, but we assure you the Razer is brand new. What? So apparently Amazon is unboxing your phone and folding it and putting it back in the box to protect it from shipping for some reason.
That's the first time I'm hearing that. That seems incredibly inefficient. Like, when I think of Amazon, I think of ruthless efficiency. Mm-hmm. I think of paying people as little as possible. I think of employing as few people as possible to do as much work as possible in these gigantic spaces. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea why they would want to unbox phones and rebox them.
Especially because right now, efficiency is something that's taking a hit over there because of COVID conditions, they can't put as many people in a warehouse. So, like, you wonder why we're not getting our two-day shippings from Amazon right now. And even though they're making billions of more dollars during COVID, they're not as efficient because they can't cram as many people into a warehouse at a time. So why would they want to take this extra step of now unboxing somebody's thing, folding it up? I mean, maybe it's so minuscule. I'm sure there's like one warehouse that has all of the Razers in it.
And, that could be true. That could just be one guy. guy rampaging through all the Razers and unfolding them for fun.
How would you feel though if you bought a Razer and
I would hate that,
or any phone, and there were like fingerprints on it? Like you saw the seal was broken, you saw it was open.
I would hate it, and it's because I am definitely a stickler for like a new thing's got to be new, and I got to be the one to peel the screen protector off. And if it's got fingerprints on it already, it's ruined.
Yeah, that
it doesn't actually matter, but it's kind of sad.
It wouldn't matter to me if I was getting a discount, but if I'm paying full price, especially full price for something that's expensive, although apparently it is discounted from retail. I guess they've dropped the price on the Razer already, probably, we can only assume, due to poor sales. But yeah, I'm not paying that much money to have someone open it before me.
Yeah, there's a reason open box items usually cost less. Also, yeah, exactly. I just have a quick story about that reminded me about shipping. Uh-huh. A lot of people were giving me crap about, oh, wow, you're being super hard on FedEx, and FedEx is struggling this time, and they have a lot going on. Listen, they completely lost the package.
It's gone. It's gone.
It's not delayed. It's not slower. It's not like some inefficiencies, and I was being ruthless. That package, that Pixel 5, is lost forever.
Yeah, and it would also, I would feel worse for it if they like helped us at all. It is so hard to talk to a real person at FedEx, and I get it, like, most people calling are probably trying to do something really simple, but you should still have an option when you understand that just the tracking number is not helping you enough and that something is legitimately lost in the mail. But when you finally got to talk to someone, they told you, wait one more day, call back again. You finally got to talk to someone the next day and they said, oh, wait one more day, call us back again.
I got told, oh, we'll file a claim. Here's your case number. And if nothing gets updated for 2 days, call back. So, okay, I got a case number, nothing updated. I waited like a couple more days, nothing happened, called back. I said, here's my case number, nothing happened. And they go, oh, all right, yeah, contact your shipper because they got to talk to FedEx to get their money back for shipping it. I'm like, all right, well, that's gone forever.
Yeah.
So I'm not being hard on FedEx. FedEx is being bad.
Yeah, they just blew it.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got a lot to talk about. Console wars, tech embargoes. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this show comes from NetSuite. Let's do some quick math. So the less your business spends on operations or multiple systems, the more margin you'll have, and that equals more money in your pocket. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, I mean, everything seems to cost more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. So NetSuite is a leading cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. And so you can reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. So you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program, so head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform. netsuite.com/waveform. Okay, welcome back. So I just want to jump right into the deep end of consoles coming out in 2020. 2020 has been a crazy year. I mean, let's not get into that. I don't want to dive off that deep end. But I think it's awesome that, you know, we see consoles come out every couple of years. It's a very generational thing. It's not like the new iPhone where there's a new one every single year. Sometimes there's a slim version and a special edition, but we get generational consoles, right? And also, conveniently, at the same time, we're also getting these really big leaps with graphics cards with the RTX series and the RX series. And so now there's this new feud of, like, all these new GPUs coming out and the PC gaming market is thriving again, but also this big generational leap in consoles. And really, at the end of the day, we're looking at PS5 and Xbox Series X. My opinion right now on these consoles, because basically we just have the retail boxes, we've seen the hardware, we're getting into testing them. But from the outside looking in, the hype for PS5 I've seen is way stronger.
It is wild.
And I think that's a function of supply and demand. And to explain that a little more, supply and demand. People want to see these consoles, right? Mm-hmm. They want to see what the UI looks like. They want to see what gaming looks like. They want to know what speed is like. Do they overheat? What's the design like? What's in the box? And the market of YouTube and media land is flooded with Xbox content, which because mm-hmm. they have given it out to a bunch of people. They had the dummies before they even shipped them, and people did videos on those. And then the console, they've done like six different embargoes about all these different hardware and load time features, and all these things have happened already. And now they're finally getting the boxes, blah, blah, blah. It's just endless, relentless content, where PS5 has been, again, probably similar level of demand, but very, very, what's the word I want to use? It's very deliberate what they choose to release. We went straight from like, they showed the UI, they showed some games, they showed the price. Like, they've gone a much more lockstep release strategy. It's still a little bit crazy, but I think they've successfully navigated supply and demand to the point where people are more into the PS5 content. I'm curious what you think.
I go back and forth on what I think Sony's doing in terms of their marketing on this. It's like, are they pulling off a kind of like Supreme style marketing where it's like, here's a really hyped piece of product that's just gonna like, you're gonna hear nothing about it, and then it drops and everyone loses their mind and it creates its own hype because you didn't know a lot about it, and it's just by in nature a hype machine. Whereas Xbox is, yes, it's the direct competitor. There's so many things similar about the two of them, but like, it is flooded. You see stuff about it all the time. And I honestly think that's because I think Microsoft's marketing team's fantastic and they're really good at working with creators and giving them opportunities. Like you said, with the fridge they did before, that's great marketing. But at a point, are you seeing it too much? And you're just like, I've seen it. I haven't seen it. Like, PlayStation 5 did that live stream where the guy like dissected it and went through the end. Like, no one who's buying the PlayStation 5 really cares about
that's
that.
True.
But it was just a chance to see it again because no one really had seen it up to that point.
Right.
And in that, they showed like the loading screen on it where it just said like, please connect your controller. And people thought that they were so pumped about it. But then on the other hand, I wonder if that's what Sony's purposefully doing.
Right.
Because we've talked about Sony and their phones and their really poor marketing. And have they just accidentally stumbled into a hype machine with this that they... I highly doubt it's accidental because they just have too much marketing dollars in
it. So I think both the marketing teams are very smart and very large teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think with these products, like you mentioned Supreme, like just dropping random products, I think those random products don't have a legacy of buildup and people waiting for them. And so when you're Microsoft or you're Sony right now, you know that for years, people are waiting for the next generation. So when the PS5 is going to come out, you can slowly, slowly tease it and tease it a little bit until it drops, and same for Xbox. And so because they know this, they've gone about different strategies to try to smartly maximize that. Xbox is kind of pulling a OnePlus, where when we're like 6 months away from a new OnePlus phone, they'll go, hey, our next phone's going to have a Snapdragon 865 Plus. And you're going, well, okay, yeah, I guess, probably. It's going to have the newest, better chip. Mm-hmm. And then like 3 weeks later, they're like, hey, it's going to have more RAM. And you're like, okay, yes, they're going to slowly tease the specs. And they'll go, it'll have 120 hertz. And they'll go, it's going to have a bigger screen. And like, 6 months later, after you've teased every single little possible thing and had press and press and press and article and article and article, it finally comes out. And if you're OnePlus or if you're Xbox, you're hoping that that's the crescendo to all the press and everything that's been building this whole time. Everyone's been waiting. They know everything about it already, but they just can't wait to get it for themselves because they've seen it. And I think that's one version of playing it smart. Yeah. The other version is the Sony, the PS5 version, and even maybe to an extent Apple, where you just don't say that much. I mean, Apple doesn't say anything, right? But if you're Sony, you don't say that much, but you know that every single thing that you publish about the PS5 will be relentlessly scrutinized and watched. And so you sort of turn the faucet up just a little bit, just a little leak. Here's the price. Here's the design. Here's like a teardown.
Yeah, I think it started with like the PS5 logo and people like...
Yeah, just the logo.
I think that was at like... That was a CES, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then like the boot screen and then the UI. It slowly comes out and it's like one after another and it's the same thing. It's still a crescendo at the end when it finally launches and you can get your own, but it's a bit more, I like that strategy better, to be honest. I think that that's more efficient.
I think that it's a better strategy definitely for just like pure hype behind it. Like, I miss the days where we get like big reveals, and PlayStation might be one of those things where like they still actually reveal things and you get that pure, just like, I mean, I always think about a lot of video game launches. It happens with like Smash Brothers a lot when they make a trailer and like some new character comes out and it's at some big convention and the whole audience like stands up and starts cheering. Like that doesn't happen very much anymore. And PlayStation is something that stuff like that happens for. I am a little... I wonder why they didn't send it out to more creators. I get exclusivity kind of stuff and like creating, like,
I have an answer.
Not being flooded.
Yeah.
But it still felt super, super confined. And like,
yeah,
I feel like there's one or two other gaming channels out there that it could have benefited from.
Fully agree.
While
fully
keeping
agree.
The same level of hype.
Yeah. I think for them, it's part hype, but also part control. And what they very, because this is also something Apple does and something you'll see people who criticize Apple and Apple critics all the time about, which is like Apple will send this device to like 9 places and all these 9 places have to carefully navigate being one of the only places to have this thing, but also trying to tell the truth. And if you say too much bad, do you ruin being one of the first next time? And I guess, you know, this channel, we're in a, I guess, an incredibly fortunate position where I feel like no, I don't have any muzzle. Like I'll say exactly what I feel about this device.
Yeah.
But that's not true about everyone. They feel a pressure to say nice things about the thing they got because being one of the first 9 or whatever it is great. Now, Apple can use that leverage to slowly remove and add to keep them saying nice things. And I think that's a little bit true of what Sony's doing, where they're not going to send it to 30 YouTubers because... Well, now it just looks like it'll go out anywhere and anyone can say anything and it'll just go to everywhere. So it's a little bit of a control thing, I think.
I can see that. The only thing I can say is out of the few people they send it to is like, I don't see many of them being ones who would be controlled by that. Controlled sounds so like...
It was kind of a weird selection though.
It's just a weird selection, I thought. Yeah. Like everyone they sent it to talks about games at some point. We're all in tech. I mean, we're going to talk about games no matter what.
PlayStation.
I mean, and that's another thing for us as well, is we would have no reason to not tell the truth about it because we could get a PlayStation eventually. Gaming's not the main thing I'm on. Like, that's not going to make or break this channel. It helped it.
On the other hand, definitely numbers.
Going into another, we had the best views ever on the channel in 24-hour period.
Oh, yeah. You want to know the numbers?
Partially helps on iPhone.
It's
Do you want to look up numbers and I'll just finish my thought on what
I
just think I could see one or two other more gaming channels, like Austin and Judner are the first two that come to mind, really. And maybe I'm super biased because I like both of them a lot and I like their channels a lot. But like, they just feel like channels that love stuff like that and have an audience who absolutely loves stuff like that. And it would really benefit from it.
Yeah, I think they could have sent it to a couple
more. I'm surprised those two didn't get one, mostly.
Yeah. So now that we've gone through all of that, the hype is real for PS5. And it comes out once every few years, but I was expecting most hyped, and by most hyped, I mean most clicked, highest click-through product of the year to probably be iPhone. Mm-hmm. It usually is. This year, out of the first 2 days and 10 hours of being live, the iPhone 12 unboxing has 9 million views, and the PlayStation 5 unboxing had 9.2 million views. And it stayed just ahead of the iPhone. So it is, I think, fair to say the PS5 is the most hyped product, at least on the channel this year. And
we cover a good variety. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that ended up creating the single highest view count day of the channel's history.
Yeah, and that just also is because the stars aligned and iPhone was like still running its course in the background on that one.
There's a lot going on.
Two pretty hyped TikToks we made off of it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fun because it's one of those things where you don't have to be an in-depth tech nerd. You can benefit if you're a big nerd and a big gamer, and PS5 is going to be amazing, but like, people play games. That's just a norm we have for our generation, and console games are so easily accessible. So PlayStation's hyped by so many people that probably aren't watching our smartphone videos but are going to tune in because they just want to see the PlayStation.
And I think it's arguably just a straight-up bigger target demographic. The new 100%. iPhone, when it comes out every single year, iPhone 12 is targeted to people who buy iPhones who don't have like the latest iPhone. They have like a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old iPhone. Versus PlayStation 5 coming out this year is like, we want this thing in every home in America and everywhere. We want this to be the Christmas present of choice. We want this to be the gift people give for the next 4 or 5 months. So it's just a very broad brush.
I have to say, as much as I don't really play consoles that much anymore. I think, honestly, the best console to buy if you mostly play on PC is a Switch, because it's just a whole nother beast, and it's completely different. Most games you can play on Xbox and PlayStation, you can also play on the computer, so there's not a big choice, where the Switch has a ton of exclusive stuff you won't get on the computer. But I miss the days of growing up and wanting the new console like for Christmas. Man, I was super lucky, and I got an Xbox, and I got an Xbox 360 at a PlayStation when I was younger. Like, my parents were great. My mom surprised me with an Xbox. I thought there was no chance I was getting it, but like, getting that for Christmas was the coolest thing ever, and you just sat the entire Christmas day in front of the TV. That's probably why our parents get it. They're like, I just want to relax on Christmas. Like, this will definitely entertain him for the rest of the day.
My first console ever was the PS4.
Whoa. Wait, really?
Yeah. I had a friend with a GameCube a long time ago.
Okay.
I never owned a console. I had a...
Well, you were after N64, right? That was like the hype.
Yeah. So I had a PC, and I eventually started getting a little bit into PC gaming, but my first ever video game console was in college. I got a PS4 Pro. And then PS5. I mean, that's it. That's the entire story.
It's funny. My whole life growing up was like, I had one console, but I always had a friend with the competition. So I was like, I was a PlayStation first while my friend had an N64. Then I turned into an Xbox person, but I always had a friend that had a PlayStation 2 or like my cousin had a PlayStation 2. And like, you always had your friends that you knew if one game came out exclusively for one, like, everyone was hanging out at their house for a while, or everyone was hanging out at your house for a while.
Got it. Yeah, my friend had a GameCube, and I had a swing set in the backyard.
Hell yeah.
And that was pretty tight. Huh. No, when we talk about consoles, though, I feel like we also have to talk about these insane embargo, series of embargoes that happen around them.
This is something we've been talking about a lot behind the scenes just between us, but it felt like it needed to be talked about.
It is fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. So, for years and years and years, we've observed this embargo phenomenon where, breaking news, in case you didn't realize that the 9 videos in your subbox at the same time were for a reason, we've done a whole episode about this. They are because the products are sent out specifically to people who will review or talk about the product before the product comes out, so that by the time the product comes out, these people can spend time with it and publish something about their thoughts. But in order to keep this a secret and not leak too much information to competitors or before the announcement, there is an embargo, date and time, before which you are not allowed to talk about the thing.
I think it also kind of protects creators a little bit in the sense of it allows people, you mentioned it, but I think just securing the fact that it allows creators to not worry about taking the time to get to know the product and know that somebody on the East Coast might get it quicker than someone on the West Coast, and then they're just going to rush to get a video out as soon as possible and be the first. It keeps people on an even playing field. So when you think about it like that, embargoes make total sense, and I'm totally in favor of embargoes. What we're getting to is, my personal opinion is they're taking advantage of embargoes and starting to overstep almost.
And to be totally honest, I get it. It's like a natural evolution of, wait a second. Instead of making, because I talked about this with the truth about the red iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
The red iPhone always came out like 6 months later. And it came out 6 months later, even though it didn't have to. They could have made it the next day, is because it was just a second nice wave of reminding people that there's a new iPhone and getting people to buy a new iPhone. So 6 months after the original iPhone announcement, there'd be, boom, new red version. Oh, new iPhone. It's the same phone. It's just red. But new press wave. Now it's evolved into, okay, we have one product coming out. Why don't we give all of the information and all the product to all the people we want, but only let them talk about our first big feature on this date, and then our second big feature 3 days later, and then our third big feature the next week. And so what that creates is everyone who has that thing, is eagerly trying to wait to unveil what they've found and their findings on this thing. So embargo number one comes along, and everyone wants to share the thing. And so that creates that first wave of press. And then embargo number two comes along. And ideally in this company's world, again, they want to share the thing. So they share more and they share more. And it just falls into like this lockstep like commercial. So instead of just OnePlus going, hey, our new phone has 6 gigs of RAM. Instead, it's every reviewer who's had the phone following this, like, and OnePlus isn't doing this, but it's like them following now this like staggered embargo where everyone is chiming in at once. It will have 6 gigs of RAM, and they can all say just that, but can't talk about the hardware, can't talk about the software.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening.
Yeah, and it's weird. So, like, in a perfect world, I think there's a lot of people out there who would say, hey, reviewer, you don't agree with all these embargoes. There's three of them. Why don't you just wait till the last one and do all of it? But even if we really, I mean, one, yes, it does suck to lose the views when you release at an embargo. You get out first. That's just a thing. I do think we're a channel that's lucky enough to posting first isn't always a first priority for us. There have been plenty of times where we've waited hours or even a day after an embargo because we didn't feel like it was up to our standards. But at the same time, they know that the audiences of these channels are going to relentlessly beg, where is this video? Where is this video? Where if we decided to skip iPhone unboxing and wait like a week, I cannot tell you how many comments we would get on every video would be plagued with where's the iPhone unboxing. It would have nothing to do with the business MKBHD email. I probably would just ignore it for a week because it would be please. iPhone unboxing, I need it right now.
Yeah, I think the iPhone is a great example. So we got the iPhone 12 Pro. I think it was 4 or 5 days before the embargo. And there's one embargo for Apple this year. Great. So in my opinion, I have two phones. I have to test them all. This is also at the same time that I'm testing Pixel 5 and a couple other things are happening. So in my mind, I already know there's no way I'm finishing my entire review of even one of these phones in 5 days of testing it and shooting it. So I know that the embargo date is a certain day, certain time, 9 a.m., whatever it is. I'll basically just publish a little quick hands-on and impressions and share, yes, I have the phone. And you even hear me say in the video, by the time you watch this, I've begun testing and begun reviewing the iPhone. And the review comes out later. And again, that is a little bit of a symptom of feeling the pressure of like, if I don't publish anything or if I just, I don't know, just tweet a picture of the box or something, like immediately people are like, well, I'm not learning anything from this channel. I'll just go to other channels. And you might even see this comment sometimes on videos where, oh, I didn't really learn anything from this video. I've seen this all already. Well, there you go. That's the pressure of being early. That still exists no matter how big the channel is. So
yeah,
I think the iPhone's a great example. I think some channels can play to their advantage and just publish as many things as possible at every single embargo and just no problem. Just make all the things. Some have no problem with that.
It's a tough decision you have to make sometimes and realize that there are channels out there that rely on views. And if a video tanks, it could be a super big hit to them. So it kind of sucks. But I think what we're saying is we don't want to get too in-depth into these embargoes. But the console one specifically, and you can probably see from videos we've posted about, we've been very upfront with what we're allowed to say and what we're not allowed to say in these because... Right. We know every time we do something, people are going to be like, well, why didn't you talk about this, this, and this? So we're at the point where we kind of have to talk about the embargoes that we have.
Yeah.
These console ones have been rough, to say the least. They're
not my least favorite, though. You know what my least favorite was? Weirdly, the Surface Duo, where it felt like it was protecting part of the product.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
That was, for those who don't remember, it was the Surface Duo initial embargo was... a couple of days after we received it, but we still weren't allowed to turn it on or show any software, but we could talk as much about the hardware as we wanted. And then later...
Playing to their strengths again.
Possibly, was it after the release date? It might not have been after.
I don't know, and that's something I want to talk about in a minute.
But yeah, later, eventually, we're also able to review them, in which we can turn them on and show everything else. And that, to me, weirdly felt like intentionally protecting the worst part of the product with the embargo.
It's a weird thing of, are they... And maybe this is the same thing. Are they... being shady and trying to get you to not see the bad thing, or are they playing to their strengths and getting you to see the good thing? Because the Duo's hardware was the best. I mean, like, it's tough. It's tough. And I, like Marquez said to start this whole thing, embargoes make sense for the company. It's, I think, the creator is the one who's getting hit by it a little more, and it's...
they got more choices to make.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, but you brought up a really good point, which is I want to ask you, like, what do you think your ideal embargo is? A fair embargo that helps the company and helps the creator, which, if both of those are helped, ultimately helps the audience.
Sure.
And I think, to me, when you mentioned release date, that is hands down the most important thing for me, and we came up... I thought of that today perfectly. We're in the middle of working on the iPhone 12 Pro review. And while it's way past embargo, we're just super busy. I personally think I'm fine with max two embargoes. I think an unboxing first impressions one, especially if there's an event, is totally fine. Mm-hmm. And then after that, full review embargo can be a little longer to make sure everybody gets their units and takes ample amount of time to do them.
Yeah.
But I think both embargoes... should be out before any pre-order date. I don't think any person should have to worry about not getting their pre-order in on the first day and then having to wait months and months to actually get their product just because they want to wait to see some reviews.
So, okay, here's what I'll say. If you are a company that's coming out with a product on December 1st, right? If you are going to send out review units, I would say send them at least a week before you aim to have that product on sale so that there's a week for people to evaluate it. That's a good, healthy amount. More is always better. And have that embargo drop before people have to make the decision to buy it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's just a win for, it's a courtesy, but it's a win for customers so they can know, okay, I do like this. I want to buy it. Let me be early online versus I don't know if I want to buy it or not. And if I wait, then I'm at the back of the line.
Yep.
Now, there are going to be companies who come out with products that don't send products to reviewers. This happens all the time. They're going to have a product that's going to come out December 1st. They don't send any of the products to any reviewers. They just drop it. And if people want to buy it, then they want to buy it. That's also fine. But don't expect people to immediately buy it if they don't know if it's good or not because there are no reviews. Depends on what the company is, what the product is. There are way more variables. But I think like a week generally is a good amount of time for people to actually evaluate the goods and bads about things like smartphones, tablets, laptops.
Yeah, I think most reviewers have a good enough like game plan and knowledge and familiarity with most products to be able, a week is pretty fair to get a good amount of base thoughts down that would probably convince someone whether to buy something or which one to buy of it.
Yeah.
I think there is if you have a good product, there is zero harm for making a full review embargo before your launch date, because if you truly believe in your product, then nothing bad should be coming out of those reviews that should would deter that many people. I think the more you go into letting people spend their hard-earned money before professionals' opinions are out, the more it looks like you could potentially be hiding something and just hoping to make money before informed decisions are being made.
So I'll wrap that up saying there's a bunch of red flags. Mm-hmm. As a reviewer, when I see certain things, that is a red flag about the product itself, which is kind of funny. Number one is, we saw this with the first Fold, actually, where the product is like, yep, we'll send it to you for 3 days, and then we need it back immediately. Mm-hmm. That's a red flag. That's obviously a red flag. For Fold, it was a durability concern. Another red flag is you're not allowed to say anything about like this, you know, particular set of things. That sometimes is a red flag. A lot of times it's just like, here's your first impressions embargo, here's your review embargo. When it's separated into, you can't talk about the software, but you can literally review the hardware. That's a little bit of a red flag. And then I think the last red flag is when the review embargo is significantly after pre-orders start to happen, where everyone has to make their purchase choice, they've all gotten in line, they've given their money, and then the reviews are going to drop. And then people realize, oh, there was a thing I didn't know about this product.
And I wish I didn't buy it now I have to return it, stuff like that.
That's the last red flag.
Yeah.
So if you can avoid those red flags as a company, please do.
Yeah, we get
more power to you.
And like, I know there's a side to PR and companies and marketing and stuff that like, you know, maybe there's a lot of stuff you're listening right now and we're talking about things that we don't understand, but like just know from our side, and I think generally the audience is on our side on this, that this is how we see things. So maybe it's time to start thinking a little different about some of these.
Also built into the number of days of testing for us anyway is a production time. Maybe that's writing time for an article, but production time for video. So if you only give people 24 hours to review something, they have to use like 12 of those hours to make the actual video. So don't expect anything too thorough when the embargo time is
short. Especially if you give an embargo and then decide to change it last minute.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember, we're all working on stuff too. Not everyone can drop what they're working on and just pump a video out.
So, exactly.
There's a lot of shaded, there's a lot of veiled criticisms here that we'll never say the actual companies that do this, but man, this... lots of stuff happens behind the scenes that
I don't know. I dropped some names. I said Surface Duo. I'm letting people know about the Fold. Anyway, okay, that's probably enough embargo talk. Let's take another quick break, and we'll come right back and talk tech.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you gotta do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So, 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password, and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier. So I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and this is Unlocking Us. In this podcast, we'll explore ideas, stories, experiences, research, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human, from the bravest moments to our most brokenhearted moments. Some episodes will be conversations with the people who are teaching me, challenging me, confusing me, maybe ticking me off a little bit. And some days I'll just talk directly to you about what I'm learning and how it's changing the way I think and feel. The first episodes are out now. We're going to do 3 or 4 part series every quarter, so about 12 to 15 episodes a year. Unlocking Us will always drop on Wednesdays. And now you can find me wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. You can get new episodes as soon as they are published by following Unlocking Us on your favorite podcast app. And as always, stay awkward, brave, and kind.
All right, we're back. We're closing in on 7 o'clock now, and I have to get this podcast edited into Studio 71 in like 2 or 3 hours. So nice. I'm starting to tire out. We're going to end this by a really quick game I decided to do so one, we can get this done and I can start editing, and two, because we didn't want the recap to last forever, but we've covered so many phones since the last episode. So what we're going to do is I'm going to take the 6 phones that we've covered on the channel since the last episode, and we're just going to play a little game. Both of us are going to say one thing we liked about the phone and one thing we didn't like about the phone, and hopefully that should make anyone listening here decide if they want to go watch the review or something on the channel, or if they decide I don't care at all, and then you're good.
Okay.
Good.
So you have to say one good thing and one bad thing about
the phone. I feel like we're going to agree with a lot of things here, but that's okay. Fine.
All right.
Cool. Let's just start straight iPhone. We're working on iPhone 12 Pro. Might be out by the time this podcast's out. If not, congratulations. You get a little sneak peek on something here. But
So iPhone 12 Pro?
Yeah, do iPhone 12 Pro.
Okay. Something I like about iPhone 12 Pro, I like the satin back and I love the color.
Blue 12 Pro is the best color iPhone that's ever come out.
Pacific blue, quality color. Good look. Something I don't like about the 12 Pro, no ProMotion. That might have been a predictable one. The Pro iPhone costs $1,000, and the Pro iPhone has a Pro camera, and the Pro iPhone has a Pro port, and the Pro iPhone has Pro RAW, and the Pro iPhone does ProRes, and the Pro iPhone does not have ProMotion. And I am sad about that one.
I'll go different. I really don't like that it has technically a different camera setup than 12 Pro Max. I think that's weird. I think that's a really weird flaw in that. I think they should be the same. I think it reminds me of Note 10 and Note 10 Plus when they were like, that you're just supposed to be choosing a size difference. You're not supposed to be sacrificing any actual specs on there. But
in a dream world, it's just a different size.
Yeah.
But Apple has left that train, and now we're all off the train.
Okay.
What do you like about the iPhone 12 Pro?
I said Pacific blue, best color that iPhone has ever been. Okay.
The game is you got to make one.
The game is you got to make your own?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm not an Apple user.
Oh, now you got
to
stretch.
I do have to say,
good one. A really good one.
this is one of the first years where I've seriously been considering getting an iPhone. That being said, I'd probably be just a regular 12.
Okay.
The color is the thing I like the most about it. The 12 Pro.
You're considering getting a phone for the first time because the color is so good?
No. I'm considering getting a 12, not a 12 Pro.
So there's nothing that great about the 12 Pro?
I don't think there's anything that great about the 12 Pro.
Oh, man.
I think the color is the best thing. Cool. Yeah, it's the new iPhone and it has better RAM. It's brighter. That's great. Sorry.
All right.
The blue is my thing that I had. I'll go the iPhone 12. I mean, it also is in the 12 Pro, but the design is amazing. With the new different widgets and stuff in iOS, I've never wanted an iPhone more. It's a great phone. And the best part about, I think, the iPhone 12 is there's very little sacrifice when it comes to the screen now. It's that little tiny nip brightness, little less. But other than that.
Bro, that's a lot of good stuff about one phone. You only had to say one, but you just named like three.
Yeah, well, I felt like I had to name more because I did so poorly with the 12 Pro.
All right, so what's the bad thing?
The color.
Oh,
the red color is so bad.
That's actually not true. Red. That's true.
It's like the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like salmon. Okay.
Pacific blue on a regular 12 would just be...
Yeah, they got a little crazy with the blues. It's a very different blue. Okay, iPhone 12. Let me say a good thing about iPhone 12. Well, you said design, and I'm with you on that. You said a lot of things. What did you not say?
Sorry.
So does square sides count? You said design already? Square sides already? Let me just say A14 Bionic being a 5-nanometer chip and probably being future-proof for a very long time is pretty sweet. Big fan of great future-proof chips in all types of phones.
Fastest iPhone ever.
Fastest iPhone ever, you bet. Something I don't like about iPhone 12, I already also agree with you. I don't like that product red. Let me also say, I wish Apple increased the size of their sensors just a bit on their cameras. Now, there's a caveat to this, which is it's hard to do that well. You would just think like, oh, bigger sensor, more images, what? You would just think bigger sensor, more light, more pixels, like that's an easy formula. Mm-hmm. But we've seen with like phones like S20 Ultra, when you get like a giant 100 megapixel, like one over 1.2 inch sensor, you always get like weird fringing issues and suddenly the plane of focus is super thin. So maybe F1.6 was just all they needed to do, but I kind of wish Apple would make a leap with their cameras because it was pretty incremental this year. So there's my dislike.
Okay. All right, let's go Pixel 5. I'll start this one off so I can't accidentally say the same thing and then completely struggle to find something else.
All right.
Pixel 5, best part. I'll just say battery. I think battery encompasses all the things I really didn't like about the Pixel 4 ultimately. One thing I don't like about I'm dying for an XL version. Like, I'm totally fine stepping down from like premium flagship as long as it just has a bigger screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say for Pixel 5, the thing I like is it's the best looking front of a Pixel ever. And that's the side you have to look at. I'm not a fan of the mint green. I'm not even that into the plastic on top of metal. But whatever, I'm not looking at the back all the time. I love the front of the phone. Looks great. The front of the last few Pixels have been rough.
They've been really rough.
So that's a plus for Pixel. Negative for Pixel 5. I'm going to say future-proof. I'm going to say this is it's a $700 phone, but it's going to be, we already know it's going to be slashed. But if I was to use a phone like that, I would have wanted the highest end chip. I would have wanted more RAM. I would have wanted 120 hertz display. I would have wanted it to feel like the bleeding edge performer that I'm so used to. I kind of want the XL.
You want a Pixel Ultra?
I guess I would have probably
liked
the
Pixel Ultra. You heard it here first, Pixel Ultra coming out. Hit Twitter. Okay, Huawei Mate 40 Pro. I think we all know what we don't like about this.
Yeah, this is probably a pretty unanimous one. We like the hardware. We don't like the software. Is that fair?
I mean, well, we don't like that you basically can't use the software in the U.S.
Yeah.
I'll actually say I don't like... Oh, it's weird. I appreciate, but at the same time, don't like how curved the screen is.
Oh, that's a good one.
Holy cow, is it a good looking phone? Mm-hmm. And the fact that they have to like push the power button backwards to make it happen, it looks amazing. Filming it was super fun, and I would hate using it.
That's a very good point.
So yeah.
So that's your like and dislike?
Yeah, there it is. I did it. The two for one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the design. I like the hardware, the feel in the hand. I don't like the software experience. That kind of, that's in the review. Cool. How about LG Wing?
LG Wing.
That's in there.
It's just so fun.
Yeah.
I think that's what I like. It's fun. It's new. It's exciting.
It's different. It's built different.
That's it. It's built different. Isn't that like Home Depot or Lowe's or
Oh, it's a
Tonka
lot of things. It's a TikTok meme. Like it's all the things. It's built different. LeBron's built different.
Or Ford, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's built tough. You're close.
Ford tough.
Ford is built tough, and Home Depot is like, whatever, I don't know.
Okay.
Where are we? LG Wing LG Wing is built different. What do you not like about the Wing, though?
Part of me wants to say size. It seems so big, like unwieldy almost. And it's not even, and I don't think that's because of the extra screen. I think it's just they made it too big. If not that... It feels almost impossible to, like, maybe they make a protector for it, but the case for it doesn't protect the front of the phone. And the only reason I ever buy a case is because I wanted to protect the front of, have a lip so the screen doesn't hit the ground. So to me, a case, the little case it comes with on the back is pointless and just makes it more bulky. So yeah, it lacks having protection where it's still a $1,000 phone.
True. LG Wing for me, I'll say a good thing about it. Sound effects. Sound effects were good. You open that thing, it sounds like a Sidekick. There's also a software sound it plays. You close it, it's very satisfying, but it also plays a sound and sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good sounding phone. Despite the lack of a quad DAC and a headphone jack, I like the sound of the LG Wing.
How dare you mention.
Yeah. And something I don't like, I'm going to go with the inevitable lack of software support. Because all of the, I said this in maybe a previous episode, potential is not useful. Meaning, this phone has crazy potential. Think of all the things it could be if developers were like making their greatest apps and LG Wing compatible and separating UI elements and putting one on one screen and one on the other. The map thing going on for playing Asphalt on the main screen and the map on the second screen. Imagine that for like all your favorite
everyone
apps.
Goes through that.
That would be amazing. It's not happening.
I saw one which was an interesting, not integrated like that, but somebody was playing Fortnite and they had like a list of like, I forget if it was like gun upgrades or places on the map that are good to drop above it, like a guide almost on top of
it. Amazing.
Like, yeah, it's such a good idea. Yeah, potential. I think the only other thing I can think of right off the bat, I don't know if my case answer was kind of a cop out for that. My biggest gripe when physically using the phone was the animation was just too slow when you first flip it out. If it was snappier and when you, the whole screen comes out before the bottom screen turns on and then it comes on and then it swivels. If it like just started those animations and those animations were snappier as it started flipping, I think it would make that experience just so much more like fluid.
When I saw that, it was so egregious. And I saw that, I was like, there's got to be a good reason for it. There's no way all of
almost
LG
like
saw this phone open up and then 1 second later flips the UI open. And my guess is this whole UI would be a real pain to keep in RAM and would probably crush battery. And the problem is they have to load it up every single time. It's like loading up the camera app. It kind of just takes a minute to get there. So I feel like that's a next-gen problem to solve. If you're able to keep more of that in RAM for it to load faster, if you can break it down, I don't know. But I just, I see that. And I'm like, wow, LG definitely saw that and was like, well, that's the best we can do right now.
It's funny because it reminds me of their dual screen case, which takes an extra second to come on, but that's an accessory. So I didn't have as much of an issue with it because it's this added bonus. This was their two screen result of an integrated phone that still felt somehow like it was lagging behind like their other accessory. So
yeah.
Okay. Last one. OnePlus 8T. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we weren't even done yet. We've covered a lot of phones.
OnePlus
lately.
8T. Huh. Should I go first?
Sure.
One good thing about OnePlus 8T is that display, that 120 hertz with super high touch refresh, that is the smoothest phone in its class. Really great optimization by the OnePlus team to make that phone feel super smooth. Oxygen OS 11, just awesome smoothness. One thing I don't like about the OnePlus 8T is that the cameras are noticeably inferior again to the Pro even. I'm back on the OnePlus 8 Pro on my Android phone. So I'll say the cameras are my dislike with the 8T.
I have to say OnePlus is at this point where they release so many phones, I'm so confused. So I feel like I might say a pro or con here, and I might be talking about the wrong phone.
I'll tell you
a pro, and I think this is one you probably disagree with. I actually love the color that it came in, and I know I'm not the
that
only
green,
one.
That minty was that seafoam green?
Yeah, I guess it was. Claire saw a thumbnail on our TV of that, and she's like, what's that? I want that phone. Well, she has a OnePlus 5, but
she likes the color of it, I guess?
She just liked the color of it a lot. Huh. She's like, that's a really nice looking color.
Interesting.
So cool. Yeah. Cool color. I do appreciate good colors. One thing I don't like about it, I don't see where it fits in the lineup at all. That was our biggest gripe.
Right
in between nothing.
Because they're making two more Nord phones now. There's all the low end.
Yeah, those
Nord.
Are lower.
So the Nord lineup is clearly targeted towards like maximizing value, and then you have the 8 Pro, which is like their best possible phone. They finally water resistant.
But you just have the 8 also, like which is basically the 8T.
Well, the 8T replaces the 8 in the middle, where it's worse cameras, it's not wireless charging, it's not IP certified, but it's a little more expensive and it's got the 120 hertz. It's just awkwardly in the middle.
You just explained my reasoning perfectly.
Yeah, it's the awkward middle child.
Okay, there we go. That's a lot of phones. We have a lot of phones to cover. We have almost every phone that I think we're going to get in 2020, which means time for my favorite video of the year.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Smartphone camera bracket.
Yep.
I just have way too much fun. It's like one of those experiments where we don't have to write the whole video up front. Mm-hmm. It kind of starts writing itself for us and gets to have some really fun twists and turns that we didn't really think would happen.
We got to get the 12 Pro Max.
Yes, we still need to get that in.
One more phone.
We're trying not to tell you how many, but clearly the best iPhone sensor is going to be in the bracket. Yeah. So that is what we're waiting for before we can start this.
Yeah, but once that gets here, I think we're covered. We got Pixels, we got OnePlus, we got everything here. Yeah, that's going to be a fun... That and the smartphone awards are my two like favorite like end of year things.
Yeah.
Shout out to RetroTech Season 2 has begun production. That'll come out in early 2021. So that's also sort of something we're working on. But a lot of good year-end projects also happening. But technically also still Techtober, so.
Yeah, Mark is probably running on like 6 hours of sleep for the week right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it though. This is a fun week.
Yeah, so also I feel like I'm physically drained after recording this. I feel like I came into here super hyped and I thought this was going to be a really efficient episode. We did before the first ad break was like 13 minutes. And I was ramped up, ready to go. I feel like I just got hit by a truck. I feel like the volume on my microphone's probably gone down because I've just lost so much like hype behind this. But yeah, I think that's where we're going to end it. And I'm just going to go let my eyes bleed while I edit this and hope I get it to Mark in time.
XDR, baby. We got some high-res stuff to send your way. yeah, thanks for listening to this episode of Waveform. It's still Techtober, but also like... That always bleeds into November, and I don't really have a good name for Techvember. Like, that doesn't sound good, so...
Speaking of November, we're going to give you another episode next week, too.
Yeah.
Just be ready.
It's a good time.
Next episode.
Definitely make sure to tweet at us at WVFRM. Let us know what kind of stuff you want to see. Train horn. Let us know if you want to see other smartphones in the smartphone bracket. Like, you definitely want to see in there. That's something you should send our way, too. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Waveform is brought to you in part with Studio 71, and our intro-outro music was created by Cameron Barlow.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.